eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Corey Pons is back at quarterback now. Throws in the end zone. Gets it away. Deep down the middle.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Welcome to another edition of Something's Brewing. How's everybody doing? Episode number 23, SB23 for short. Producer Dan, how you doing again?
You threw me there. I'm doing okay. SB23 sounds like a secret code message.
It feels good, doesn't it?
Or a mission that we're on.
Yeah, and you know, we've took a couple weeks off. I can assure our listeners that we're not going to ever do that again. Plenty of reasons, but you know how excuses are. They're just like assholes. So we don't need to make any excuses. All we can do is promise that we're never going to do that again.
Exactly.
This episode's brought to you by Rescue One Financial. If you have debt, they have solutions. Visit them at rescueonefinancial.com or give them a call. Tell them Corey Paws sent you, because God knows that I know how to get out of debt. Don't forget to send your feedback to corey@somethingsbrewing.com. Leave a review on whatever platform you are using. Smiley face, frown face, thumbs up, whatever. So before we get into my favorite number 23, I would hope that many of the listeners and certainly my friends would know who's come up as 23.
Absolutely.
But, and I know it was a couple weeks ago, but you remember we were talking about TVG? So just a quick recap.
TVG.
Remember what it stood for? That was the horse racing, horse gambling?
Yes. The horse racing network.
Exactly. It stands for Television Games Network. And at first glance.
What?
Exactly.
At first, wait. TVG?
Yep. Television Games Network. So they're either using the TV for short for TV.
Oh, TV.
And just let TVG.
Get it? TVG.
Yeah.
And
so I just didn't know what it stood for or what it's, you know.
Yeah,
what
I would never have gotten that.
And so, yeah, we just want to make sure everybody is accurate, because, you know, we're going to stick with the, horse racing thing. We talked about the Santa Anita Derby, the Kentucky Derby happened.
Yeah.
All right. So, number favorite 23 of all time, Mr. Michael Jordan.
I wish we had a fanfare. Doesn't it seem like we should have a fanfare?
You could have just done it just there. Oh, so, do you know Michael Jordan?
I've heard of Michael Jordan, yes.
And
yes.
Many people would say that he is the greatest scorer of all time. He hasn't scored the most points of all time. I think he's number four, number five. But he does have the highest scoring average per game in the regular season, just over 30. And then he also has the highest scoring average per game in the playoffs. He bumps up to almost 34 per game.
Wow.
And no one else has averaged 30 points a game in the playoffs. Others have averaged 30 points a game in the regular season, but no one else has averaged 30 points a game. Yes.
Okay.
And the Michael number two Jordan. Guy was Allen Iverson, who played not nearly as many playoff games as Michael Jordan. But just to give you an idea, so he was 6 NBA championships, 6 times was the NBA Finals MVP, and that's pretty much where you can stop. After I just talked about scoring.
Right, that's pretty good right there.
Yeah.
Congratulations, you're a success.
But that most valuable player 5 times, 4-time NBA All-Star, NBA All-Star Game MVP, and a Defensive Player of the Year multiple times. a scoring champion 10 times, steals leader, slam dunk champion twice. Mm-hmm. We've talked about that in that past episodes. The iconic dunks that you had in your poster.
Oh, yeah.
Poster on your wall. Athlete of the Year 3 times, Sports Illustrated Person of the Year in 1991. Remember, I went to that, to the 2018 version.
Oh, that's right,
version.
You did, yes.
50th best players, NCAA champion in 82, consensus All-American, ACC player of the year, college player of the year, NBA rookie of the year. I mean, where else? We can't really say much more.
How long is this
list? I bet it's going to be the longest list until we come back around and do Tom Brady. When right. we do 112.
Yeah.
Okay, but a couple other things that I wanted to, you know, mention about him. So if you remember back in the day, Dan, Bulls won three NBA finals, and I'll never forget one of the greatest moments in high school. I was in the basement of my good buddy Al McReynolds' basement with him and Devo. And we were celebrating, actually, a game-winning shot. I think it was the Steve Kerr game-winning shot. Just jumping around like a couple of 15-year-old, you know, little girls, right? Mm-hmm. And really a moment of, like, what you would... I will never forget that moment in high school.
Yeah.
But right afterwards, he took 2 years off, okay? And are you
Michael Jordan did.
Yeah, and okay. Do you remember his father getting killed?
Yeah, you know, vaguely I do. Yes.
So there's a whole bunch of conspiracy theories around this, and I've actually had a couple conversations with people that were a little bit in the know. And it turns out that it's, you know, you can't argue some of the conspiracy theories about the fact that he was a raging gambler, and it's well documented that he was did not like to pay his debts. So he's a huge gambler that basically said, fuck you, I'm Michael Jordan, I'm not paying you.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, it's not good. So now, mind you, it's the best number 23, my favorite number 23 on the field. But we've talked about the pendulum theory in previous episodes, like, you know, the Tiger Woods, Bill Clinton aspect, right? Like when Tiger Woods was womanizing and mm-hmm. banging waitresses, he was the best golfer on the planet.
Right.
You know,
how it swings both directions.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, gotcha.
Where most of us pendulum is like just goes a little couple degrees to the left and a couple degrees to the right.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Except, like at the planetarium, it just kind of swings around, knocking over those little dowels.
Right.
But Tiger, yeah, his is a full on.
Yeah. And it seems like he's back. We talked about that, or he seems to be back. But so apparently, there's a decent amount of, you know, consensus that whoever he owed money to, whether it's the mafia or big gamblers, Michael Jordan was too big to kill, so they killed his dad.
Whoa.
Yeah. And then the heat came from David Stern in the NBA that came down on Michael Jordan and said, listen, like, it was before social media, you know, the 24-hour
right.
news cycle,
right.
but people were catching on to it, and like, there wasn't a gigantic secret even at that moment.
Wow.
His dad got killed in rural North Carolina,
right.
you know, driving right. a Lexus, you know, for
yeah.
whatever. He's
right.
like, you know, this seems a little fishy.
Yeah.
You know? I remember thinking that it was fishy and I was a teenager without social media.
Right. Right.
So apparently David Stern had come down and said, like, this is too much heat on the NBA. You got to get away for a little while. So it goes.
Oh, yeah, wow.
Like a whole deal. Sort
oh,
of
so it wasn't 2 years of mourning. It was 2 years of, listen, man, we got to let
you
got to
get
cool.
the hell out of here.
Wow.
Yeah. So and if you think about it, even through all of that, can you imagine? Let's assume that that's even vaguely accurate.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
The guy now is worth almost $2 billion. Right.
Right.
He's got his brand. He starts out with Nike. He helps build Nike to the behemoth that it is today.
Right.
But his Jordan brand is still even almost. It's getting close to as popular as Nike,
yeah.
or certainly in certain communities and certain sports, it still is. He's got Jordan on football uniforms now that have replaced Nike.
Seriously?
Yeah, like, so if you noticed, his logo has replaced Nike on college football uniforms.
Oh, my.
And if you know some of the, you know, inner workings of those massive sports marketing deals.
Yeah.
But I want, you know, so he's a great businessman. He's one of the wealthiest athletes ever. He's a co-owner of a professional sports team. But again, you know, apparently a terrible gambler.
Right.
Womanizer.
Right.
And but I did read one famous quote. He also got a lot of hard time because, you know, many famous athletes now with the social media, you know, jumping on board with political aspects.
Right.
Well, he always has gotten a hard time for not being, you know, quote unquote, black enough and not standing up for.
Oh, and not getting involved in political.
Right. Right.
Oh, interesting.
And he did say one day that he said, and he's a pretty famous quote. He says, you know what? Republicans wear sneakers, too. It's like, but can you imagine if LeBron James said,
right,
you know what? Republicans wear Nikes, too.
No, I can't.
Can you imagine?
No.
So the point about all of that is that the times have changed. And as the greatest basketball player of all time, there's a little bit, like many greats, a little bit of a shadow.
You know, yeah,
a little bit of a yeah, and and whoever they, I haven't seen a 30 for 30 or a really in-depth documentary about that.
Mm-mm.
Because I guarantee that people have been paid off to not do
to
it.
To not do one.
So
yeah.
Because it's not that difficult. I didn't get any firsthand underground knowledge.
Right.
Like you
right.
can, like, there's multiple articles about it.
Oh my
Google.
Gosh, yeah.
So okay, moving on.
So wait, we're not going to talk about Space Jam?
Well, Space Jam's coming back.
No. Yeah. Are you serious?
Yeah, LeBron's doing it.
No.
Yeah,
please,
LeBron's doing it.
Just please no.
Yeah. Speaking of LeBron, we're not going to talk much about the Lakers today, but I actually didn't have him written in the script. But I'm interested to see what's going to happen now that Magic Johnson has stepped down. LeBron's complaining that that Magic didn't even tell him about it, which... You know, again, there's a lot of infighting.
Mm.
And then did you see they organized a rally at Staples Center to try and get rid of Jeannie Buss and force her to sell the team?
No.
Yeah, it's like, wow.
When was this?
I think it either happened a couple days ago or it's happening next week.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, like a huge rally to try and get her to sell the team.
That sounds like an excellent idea.
I like that. All right, so speaking of basketball, though, let's get a quick NBA playoffs update. So,
yes.
We're in the conference semifinals. The only team that's made it into the conference finals is the Milwaukee Bucks. They beat the Celtics 4-1. There's a game 7 on Sunday between the Raptors and the 76ers. I love game 7s. Dan, is there a chance that maybe someday you'll watch a sporting event? Because you didn't even watch the Super Bowl, really. You didn't watch it. You even watched
it? No, I watched a bunch of the Super Bowl.
You did?
Yeah, sure. I remember. I don't remember who played.
So I'd like you to.
Oh, the Patriots played.
I'd like to see you
and
watch
Cowboys,
a little bit more going forward.
Yeah, I think so. You should give me some assignments to blow off.
Exactly. So there's another game 7 on in the Western Conference. The Nuggets are playing Portland. Game 7 on Sunday, and then actually we're rocking this out on Friday night, Pacific Standard Time. Golden State just closed out the Rockets. Kevin Durant, it looks like he didn't blow his Achilles, although it did not look good, but he hopefully will be back for the finals. And Steph Curry had 0 points in the first half, Dan.
Really?
And 33 in the second half.
Oh my God. Really?
Yeah. And
what did he do during halftime?
I don't know.
Is that what it's called, halftime?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
Well, Gatorade?
Afterwards, he gave all credit to his Lord and Savior, Jesus
Christ. Oh, well, that's what it was.
So I would imagine he prayed.
Yeah.
So, I'm not a huge fan of some of the personalities on both the Rockets. Like, I'm not a huge fan of Harden.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a baby. And even the Golden State Warriors, something about them, it's almost like they're too good. They got too many.
Something's going on, right?
It's just a little. But then when you see Steph Curry, he still is somewhat humbled. And I love Klay Thompson. He's one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. But Draymond Green it bugs me. But then I remember the Bulls teams. Like I assume the opposing teams hated Dennis Rodman. But I love Dennis Rodman. So you see the correlation between Draymond Green and Dennis Rodman. But anyway, 33 points in the second half.
That's
I think
crazy.
He had 21 in the fourth quarter. It was a pretty good showing that I just literally got done watching. NHL playoffs update. So the Western Conference Finals are going to start tomorrow. That's going to be the San Jose Sharks with the St. Louis Blues. I will admit again that I was terrible on picking the NBA Finals. It was a long shot. I didn't really think that Oklahoma City was going to win the finals, but I bet on them in case Russell Westbrook actually played well in the playoffs for the first time. I don't know why I did that either, even though I've met him and I think he's a very nice guy, an ex-Bruin. But I never really thought Oklahoma City was going to win them. However, I did pick the St. Louis Blues to win the NHL Stanley Cup.
Yes.
So far they're still in it, which is good. The East has already begun. The Bruins beat the Hurricanes yesterday after scoring 4 goals in the third period, which was, that doesn't happen that often.
Yeah.
And we're rooting for the Boston Bruins for multiple reasons. Got a lot of good buddies. Shout out to the, to MG, from Boston. And, so we're rooting for the Bruins and to meet with the St. Louis Blues. Major League Baseball, we're not going to talk a lot about that this week. We're going to get a full update following week, because we won't have as much UEFA to talk about, which I'm going to do next. However, I do want to comment that the Chicago Cubs have now gone 17-5 after a 5-9 start.
Nice.
Yes. So it was starting to get a little concerning.
Yeah, right. But
although your baseball people would have said, "Oh, so the season's a long season. Oh my God, it's the longest season ever. Don't worry about it. You know what? I don't care. I want to see the Cubs at the top spot
the whole season."
So next,
yes,
UEFA Championships.
Yes,
I had a fantastic experience watching the second leg of Liverpool and Barcelona.
Okay? Really?
Yeah.
And so Barcelona.
Yes.
Liverpool.
Yes, those two teams.
Okay.
So as a reminder, in the semifinals of the UEFA Championships, which is the Super Bowl of professional soccer in the European leagues.
Yes.
Okay, European professional soccer,
yes,
which is bigger than the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
They play twice in the semifinals, and then they keep track of the aggregate goals. So I'm going to get to where I was. I'll talk a little bit more about why I was in Scottsdale later, but I'm at a Liverpool bar in Scottsdale.
Okay.
Shout out to my favorite Liverpool fan on the planet. He found it.
No, hold on. There's a Liverpool bar.
They had
in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Yeah, and have you ever been to a big soccer match, either in person or at an establishment that where people go for that simple reason? I talked about it for being in Dallas at another Liverpool bar weeks ago,
mm-hmm,
months ago now.
Mm-hmm.
But this one was even better because it wasn't like shoulder to shoulder, like sweaty and stinky.
Mm-hmm.
And the game was, they had lost the first leg 3-0, Liverpool had.
Okay.
And anyone that knows anything about high level soccer, the odd that would mean they would have to win 4-0 in the biggest game of the season that far in this very competitive tournament.
Right.
4-0 to advance, mm-hmm, because they keep track of goals. And you give more weight to away goals and so on and so forth. Anyway, they score early, so the place is going nuts because the whole bar knows that to give this any potential, we got to score soon. They score soon. People are jumping, and you can see this energy happening that they already think it's possible.
Right.
But then the other team almost scores, and then you see them go down, but then they start singing and chanting these beautiful songs.
Seriously?
It's really one of the coolest things. And if I had a little more cash and or I didn't care what my wife said, I would go to the finals on June 1st in Madrid because I enjoyed it that much.
Wow.
And I promise you I will go. But so that was really, really cool to watch in an authentic Liverpool bar that you would have never
in Scottsdale.
Yeah, exactly. And then on the other side,
which way to Phoenix?
Exactly. Follow the red. And if you go to Phoenix in Scottsdale, you will never walk alone. That's the phrase for Liverpool.
Oh, is it?
Ajax and Tottenham. a similar sort of, not quite as unbelievable, but it was also some. It was also very exciting for them. Tottenham won by scoring a last minute goal in extra time, and they actually won on the aggregate goal aspect by scoring in extra time. Soccer analysts are calling it the craziest week in UEFA Championship history.
Now, let me ask you something. This is how limited my sports knowledge is, though. Are they the Tottenham Hotspurs?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's pretty good.
Nice.
How'd you know that?
I don't remember. Probably from Monty Python.
Ah.
The Tottenham Hotspurs. No, I lived in England for a little while when I was a kid, so maybe from there.
Yeah.
But I think it's from a Monty Python.
Tell me more about living in England.
I'll tell you about living in England. So one day, there was a year in England where I went to an American school in London.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to school for some school event on a weekend. And my best friend was a big Leeds United fan.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a Leeds United scarf that I would wear around.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on the train and it stops. And I wish I could remember where, but some stop between where we lived in London, where there had just been a soccer match, and all of the fans from whatever team this was that had just won got on the train, and it wasn't Leeds United. So you can't be sitting there in like some other football team's scarf when the entire support squad of Manchester United or whoever the hell it was gets on the train. So needless to say, it ended up in my pants.
Football hooligans?
Football hooligans. They are rough.
Oh, it's. I mean,
in those days, especially, it was, yeah, there was a lot of beating.
I enjoy searching on YouTube, soccer riots.
Yes.
So again, greatest week in UEFA Championship.
Week in UEFA.
Lots of greats. We're going to talk about a lot of great things.
Great.
Okay. So moving on to the American football, the draft happened while we were between episodes.
Yes.
Had some good conversation with some of my agent buddies. Shout out to Mr. Steve Carrick. And I do want to make a couple comments about the draft. So if you didn't think that the NFL could get any bigger, even with some of the issues they've had over the last few years, and even more recently with even one more player getting completely audio recorded. Did you see that one?
No, what?
Yeah, his baby's, Tyreek Hill's baby's mom was recording him, unbeknownst to him, walking through the airport in Saudi Arabia, getting like full on pulling out of him and admitting how he abuses their kid. And he's going, well, me, what about you? And she's like, oh, no, yeah, I whoop his ass too. But apparently, like, he's getting in trouble because obviously the audio is, you don't catch things like that. It's just, you know, allegations.
Yeah.
But, you know, the kid, like, broke his arm.
Ooh.
And she says, he asked him, who broke your arm? And he's like, you know, daddy broke it, right? So, this guy's, it's not going well.
No.
So that happens. That story, of course, breaks like right before the draft. But point, it's like, how big are they? Even with everything that goes on negatively.
Right, right.
200,000 people line the streets of Nashville to watch the first night.
To watch, yeah.
And then there's another night, and then another night, and then another night. And now it's like a 5-day thing where before it was only 2 days.
And it's not exactly Woodstock. You know what I mean? Like, nothing is actually visually going on.
And
right?
Don't get me wrong, I'm a huge Bears fan. I'm now a very big Rams fan. I really like the Chargers. I've always loved the Patriots, but some of the fans, I got to give them like the root of the word fan. You know, fan is the root for fanatic, right?
Yeah.
It's like you show up to like listen to whose names are called.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's horse racing. At least you get in between racing horses, you get to watch a bunch of horses run around the track and see who wins and gamble on them.
Right.
These guys are walking up and reading a name off a card.
But dude, it's not like they could stay at home and watch it on TV.
No. Yeah, the coverage on five different channels is terrible.
Terrible.
Yeah, and I mean at the comfort
4K
of your own home. Yeah, come on. So it was bigger than ever. Couple highlights. So our man Josh Rosen, you know, ex-UCLA quarterback, and have somewhat of a relationship with them. He gets traded to Miami. So that means the number one pick for the Arizona Cardinals goes to Kyler Murray, who Cliff Kingsbury is the new head coach. We've talked about this guy before. He goes and gets, quote, his guy. I'm not going to review the whole draft. I don't get paid to do it for a living. So I realized there was like 30 pages of analysis I could have done to be really, really good at it. And I printed them all out. I highlighted a couple things and I thought I don't care enough to give it enough time.
Well, how many pages do you have there?
I have literally 20 pages.
Is it really?
Of analysis.
Oh, gosh.
So I'm going to highlight some of the things that were interesting to me.
Okay.
So Kyler Murray has the same agent as Cliff Kingsbury. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Kyler Murray has a relationship that goes back years with Cliff Kingsbury. And I can't wait to talk to Rosen about this because I know he's super pissed. But Kingsbury's that's not going to be a good situation.
No.
Kyler Murray, although I will give Kyler Murray credit for this, he's the only player ever to get drafted in the first round of the Major League Baseball draft and the NFL football draft. And he was an awesome quarterback,
right?
Okay?
Yeah.
But I don't see that marriage working.
Oh no.
And I don't see how an agent could get away with that.
Yeah.
You know, come on, right?
Yeah.
Seems like
it's a little, huh?
Yeah, it sounds a little, how do you let that happen?
Right.
Because that's not an inside scoop, you know?
Right, yeah.
So you don't think that that's going to come to light?
Right.
And it's not like Kyler Murray is 6'5". I mean, you're taking a significant risk on this kid. In my opinion, I hope he proves me wrong because that means that it's going to be dynamic. But I think that that's going to end terribly. And I thought Josh Rosen, even though he has a little bit of a quirky personality that might not have gelled well with Kingsbury, period.
Mm.
That type of offense does not work long term in the NFL.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Show me the last, I don't know, every single Super Bowl champion.
Yeah.
And I will show you a more pro-style offense.
Right.
That plays fantastic defense.
Right.
Runs the ball extremely well. And keeps the other team guessing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But hey, but you know what? Let's do it again. Let's draft another 5'9", super fast kid.
Yeah.
But not jealous. No jealousy here.
No.
Remember the 49ers guy? They drafted Nick Bosa. Did you read that story? That's another story I'm interested in. So he's a huge conservative and wasn't afraid to actually point it out on his Twitter feeds.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And he actually was also quoted by saying that there's a high likelihood that he might end up in San Francisco. And he's like, oh, man, I'm going to have to tone down my, tone down my tweets.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you that... Yeah. Yes. If he gets a couple sacks here and there, but he's not going to get away with that forever. And he's not going to be able to keep his mouth shut either.
Yeah.
Because remember, the 49ers was where all of this shit started with Kaepernick taking a knee.
Oh, that was there,
yes.
Wasn't it? Yes.
So you know, I can't wait to watch that. some unbelievable defensive players. You know, you wonder why Alabama and Clemson are so awesome. Because they had like four or five guys drafted in the first round in defensive line. And then two tight ends from Iowa drafted in the first round, which I mean,
dang.
Right? And I was trying to tell somebody about this the other day, and I hope some of our listeners remember. Iowa, back in the day, when I was in high school and even in college, their tight ends would stand up on the end of the line of scrimmage with their hands on their hips, straight up. And I guarantee someone listening.
I remember you talking about this or something. Yeah,
somebody, I know people remember this, and they don't do it anymore, but, you know, 15 years ago, it was the weirdest thing. And if you were watching a football game, you'd be like, what the hell's going on there? Is this a joke?
Right.
But that was their move.
Wow.
So, yeah, email us if you remember that. So two tight ends from Iowa, which I thought was crazy. The quarterback from Duke. Went to the Giants. I'm interested in that story. It seems as if he's got a great relationship. Daniel Jones does with the Manning family.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really?
which I
thought. Well, he's friends with the Mannings. So, as
equally as ridiculous as the Cliff Kingsbury Kyler Murray situation, you're telling me that a big reason why you drafted him was because of his relationship with Manny?
How is that relevant?
And when talking with Steve Carrick, you know, the agent that has multiple NFL guys, number one being Zach Ertz, he said, well, why would you want to go to somewhere where you're friends with the guy? Don't you want to go to play and beat him out?
Right.
As soon as possible?
Yeah. Well, it just seems like the dynamic would be wrong.
Yeah, this isn't a company.
Like, right.
This isn't a company where I'm like, the CEO and you're the head of marketing.
Right.
You know, there's only one.
Right.
Right?
That's so weird.
It is a little weird, and I don't like it, but we're going to talk a little bit more about the Manning family later.
Mm.
Okay, what else do I want to say about the draft? I thought the Rams had a pretty good draft. I'd give them an A-. The Bears had a good draft, another B+, A-. The Patriots, freaking awesome. I mean, they drafted last, and but somehow they never seemed to give up major draft picks.
Yeah.
I just love the way the organization's run, and so far so good. It doesn't look like old Robert Kraft is going to get in trouble or not for the old sex trafficking that didn't make national news.
Right.
And then I want to talk a little bit more about the Cleveland Browns because I forget which talking head was talking about it, but I completely agree with them. Talking about the social media aspect of Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham and so on and so forth. So I've said that I think the Browns are a little bit overrated, but I want us to keep an eye on that going into next year because I've seen more and more things that I'm reading about. Where remember when we talked about the first hater? And I'm not even, I'm nowhere near, certainly not a professional football player, nor a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Right.
And we were contemplating whether you give the guy, fight back against the hater.
Right.
Apparently, Mayfield responds to every single thing.
Oh, my God, really?
From everybody.
Hey, dude, you have more important things to do.
You would think.
Right.
So, but he is one hell of a leader. So, and people seem to rally around him, but I think that there's too much attention being played to social media.
Yeah.
And then I forget the talking head again, but he made a great correlation with the fact that the social media aspect in the New England Patriots locker room, the guys don't get off the field, take their pads off, and get on their phone.
Right.
They probably, some of them do, and I'm sure they all do eventually.
But by and large, it's not.
That's not the first thing they do when they get in the locker room.
I better tweet this right away.
Or something, right? But at the same time, some of the younger guys, can you blame them? They're thinking,
If I don't do it, someone's going to do it, right?
Yeah.
So they're in the tunnel on the way to the locker room, like,
And if our society has allowed people to actually be compensated for being influencers like that, I consistently will always stand behind the fact that social media is deteriorating society in general, period. I don't give a shit what you say. I don't care how great a technology is. We're not supposed to know everything about everybody immediately. Okay.
I'm sorry. What were you saying? I was checking my Instagram.
I know. So anyway, since the last podcast, I want to talk about some of the travel and experiences that I've had.
Ooh.
One of the greatest golfing experiences, the greatest golfing experience ever. And again, shout out to the sponsor for this episode, are my friends at Rescue One Financial.
Rescue One.
They took me golfing on electric scooters with big fat wheels in Orange County at a super nice golf course with the ocean in the distance. Like, not the distance, I'm sorry, on the ocean.
Okay.
With big fat tires. With electric scooters where your golf cart is on the back of it. I took pictures with my Something's Brewing gear on. We're posting it.
Okay.
They went like 25 miles an hour, and the guys literally say, Just don't drive on the greens. You can drive it up and don't drive them on the greens or in the sand traps. You can drive it anywhere else you want as fast as you want. Okay. And when going downhill, Dan, ooh, do you know what a governor is?
I most certainly do.
There's no governor.
Seriously?
Yes.
So downhill, it'll just go.
Yeah, it'll just go. It's got three speeds. And it was the most fun I've ever had on a golf course, and it was by far the greatest golfing experience ever.
Okay, so hold on. What kind of scooters? Like a stand-up scooter?
No. Like, you know, like a it would almost, remember when you were a kid back in the day, and they had those sort of little motorbikes that had, they were a little bit wide. They had a banana seat, like a little bit of a banana seat. Sure. It had a little lawnmower motor, right?
Oh yeah.
You know,
sure,
you
sure.
would see those with the banana seat. It was a bigger version of those. Mm-hmm. You know?
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, and you had tires that you could ride in the grass.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so I had a great time.
I bet. Why? I wouldn't. I would love to do that. I wouldn't even need to golf.
Yeah. Well, and they're heavy, so you have to be somewhat careful.
Yeah. Do you? Yeah, baby.
Yeah. I was, and the whole time I was thinking, I don't know who the insurance broker is.
Can you imagine
at this golf course? So, but I guarantee it's
no.
High.
You're not allowed to ride in the sand trap, but are you allowed to try to jump over the sand trap?
You can't get fast enough. They're too heavy to jump that high.
You can't. Yeah.
But you can do wheelies. I did multiple wheelies.
Are you serious?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Wow, yeah. Orange County.
Yeah, the guy we played with, Brandon, you could tell he was a pretty experienced rider, but he almost bit it a couple times.
Nice.
Yeah. So a couple days later, flew out to New York for a big meeting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. JetBlue, had a great JetBlue experience.
Yeah?
I realized that I like JetBlue a lot, and we're going to get to crying on an airplane for movies, but... So before I get to that, so we land in New York, mm-hmm. and I'm walking off, and I hear this voice say, literally, I forgot my luggage in the overhead bin. Oh my God. Like, I can't believe it. And I remember, and I heard it, okay. and I thought, God, that voice sounds so familiar. In the exact way she said it sounded so familiar.
Oh, okay,
I look at her, it's Juliette Lewis. You know Juliette Lewis?
From
a lot of things.
From a lot of things.
But the voice that I heard was from Christmas Vacation, where...
Oh,
where,
that's right, because she's the daughter in that,
yes,
right?
Yes,
yes.
And Chevy Chase is trying to light his house up.
Yes.
And she goes, oh, they're still pretty, even if they're not lit. You know, they're still pretty, Daddy, even if they're not lit. Like, you know, that
she
scene
that
where
perfect,
she's outside.
She had the perfect teen voice.
And she had perfectly curly blonde hair in that movie, if I remember correctly. And she still looks great, by the way. I don't know how old she is. I don't think she's 50 yet, but she still looked great.
There was always something about her.
Yeah, she's kind of like, I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
I almost stopped and said something to her, but I thought, you know what? Just keep going.
You're not
going
to be that? No? Okay.
Just keep going. I don't do that. But let's get back to on the flight out there. I have been fighting with multiple people in my life about the fact that I haven't watched A Star Is Born yet, because I said, I did see some of the footage at the Grammys, and I thought it just was like too much, right? Mm-hmm. There was just too much chemistry / energy between Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga. Yeah. It made me uncomfortable.
Yeah, they were trying to sell tickets or something.
I don't know.
Like,
refused to watch the movie.
Okay.
Even though I love Bradley Cooper as an actor.
Do you?
Love him.
Yeah.
And I love Lady Gaga as a musician.
Okay.
But I didn't love Bradley Cooper as an artist or as a musician,
right.
And I didn't love Lady Gaga potentially as an actress.
Okay, gotcha.
So that was my, I was like, just
stay in your lane.
Don't mess with my head.
That's right.
Don't mess with my head. I like it this way, okay?
Right.
I like my coffee with lots of cream in it.
Were you born that way?
I wasn't drinking coffee till I was older, but I don't know. I guess maybe.
It was a bad Lady Gaga reference. I'm sorry.
Actually, God, I can't believe I didn't catch that.
Sorry.
The fact that you had to remind me was embarrassing.
For both of us. So hold on. So what you're saying is...
Sometimes I wonder if you're actually paying attention.
No, I'm not.
And then you do go and do something like that.
What I really do, though, dude, honestly, is I just wait for you to kind of stop talking, and I go, yeah, right, I know. Really?
All right, fine.
It's like what you probably do when you're talking to your wife. All right, well, that's what I do when I'm talking to mine.
I got a couple great points about my wife I'll make later. She's a wonderful woman. She was awesome later on. I'll get to that in a few minutes.
So wait a minute. So you're on a plane. Star is born,
and we talked about crying on an airplane before. By the way, I've gotten multiple texts from people that have said, I cried on an airplane again. By the way,
they say this about themselves?
Yes, they'll remain nameless, pointing it out because we've been talking about it.
You need to have this checked out.
Okay, I don't think so.
I don't think this is normal.
Well, I can't remember the last time I haven't cried on an airplane. So Star is Born was terrible.
Oh my
I was
God.
Crying from the beginning till the end.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I bet.
And here, I can admit when I'm wrong. I love that movie.
Did
I loved
you?
It. Bradley Cooper was an amazing actor and an amazing musical performer.
Lady Gaga was a fabulous,
obviously, musical performer and a great actress.
She's really good actress.
And the chemistry between the two of them was as good a chemistry I've ever seen on TV.
Yeah, I guess.
It really was.
And then you got your Sam Elliott. You have those two, and then you put in some Sam Elliott.
You know, you can have Sam Elliott do a voiceover for anything.
Yeah.
In the world.
And it would be perfectly wonderful.
I would buy, if he was selling screwdrivers.
Right.
I would go buy the screwdrivers because his voiceover work is beautiful. And then the relationship between the two brothers that you didn't really know about.
Yeah, come on, man.
So I started crying in multiple areas, but the biggest one that I actually had a little self-reflection was, I mean, I'm certainly not comparing myself again to that level of greatness, but I was remembering back in college when... You know, I mean, I wasn't fucking popping opioids, you know, like it's going out of style, but I definitely know that I partied at times way too much when I should have been focusing a little bit more on football.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, you know what? Like there was no way I was going to be great in college, you know, for all those reasons we've sort of talked about in the past too, like not tall, not strong, not fast, you know, not a rocket arm and partied a lot, right? And got hurt a shitload. And so I was having a little bit of this like, oh man, you know, like did I mess up a chance to potentially be great back then? And because remember, this episode is about being great. And then I thought, you know what? And I got this level of confidence, which also made me start to cry a little bit more because I started thinking about my wife and kids and where I'm at in life now.
Right.
And I was thinking, well, maybe it actually happened exactly how it was supposed to happen.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Because I didn't just party the whole time I was in college. Like there was multiple times where I looked at things and did things differently. I wasn't just a raging, you know, party animal on, you know, social butterfly on and off the field. I made plenty of changes, but so I was having a moment on that, and I started crying, thinking about how great my life was now.
Well, like, that's the thing, right? And if anything had been different in the past,
you
wouldn't be where you are now.
Yeah.
And could you imagine living without your girls?
No.
Not for a moment, right?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes the twins are a little bit over the top.
Well, sure, you might want to strangle them, but you still want to know that they were born and you got to see them for a couple of years.
I was complaining to my buddy today. I was like, you want to get together for, you know, grab a beer or something? And I said, I was at a work function. We're going to get to that, you know, for like a boondoggle incentive trip
for
4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
Trying to dig out of that. And the kids are going crazy. Christine had like some, you know, minor little surgery, and I said the kids aren't helping. He just sends back a text that says sell them.
He's like, even willing to broker the deal for you, man.
Man.
Wow. Sell them.
And I didn't for 1 second think that's ridiculous.
Right.
All right. Another movie I watched because it was a transcontinental flight.
Oh yeah, and you got to come back.
By the way, did they had like a huge reunion for the Transcontinental Railroad the other day?
Did
you see that story?
No.
Do you know people would be alive? Yeah. Do you know how much the Transcontinental Railroad cut down the time it would take you to get across the country? Okay, I'll share it with you.
Well, before that, it had to be...
6 months?
No!
To 2 weeks.
No.
Yes. It's a huge difference.
6 months.
6 months without railroad.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't it kind of amazing that anyone made it this far west?
Yeah. Remember the game Oregon Trail back in the day? Did you ever play that game?
Yes.
You probably weren't a gamer when it was out. It was more of my age group. But anyway, so I don't know where Transcontinental Flight. What was the other movie? Have you seen The Mule?
The Mule, absolutely. Eastwood? No, I've not seen that.
Okay, so you've heard of it, though.
Oh, Clint Eastwood, sure.
So remember how we talk about the...
He's with an ogre?
No. He's a 90-year-old drug mule for the Sinaloa cartel. And it's a true story. It's based on a true story.
Cocaine and all.
Yeah, so...
Take it to the airport.
So you haven't seen it?
No, sir.
Okay, so this guy named Leo Sharp, his code name was Tata by the Sinaloa cartel. Mm-hmm. And there's another movie that I hadn't seen.
Is it a true story?
Yes, it's based on a true story.
Oh, my.
I read about it. They compounded it, though. They made it, in the movie, they made it seem like this guy only did it for a very brief time and crushed it, and then he got caught. Okay. In real life, he did it for like a decade until he got caught.
Oh, my.
But he became an urban legend by, listen to this. This part is 100% true, and this is basically the part that became the movie. Mm-hmm. He delivered over 1,000 kilos in his truck in a span of 5 months.
Oh.
Okay. So, just to give you an idea, I also looked up the prices for a kilo of cocaine, which, as you can imagine, it varies drastically throughout the country. Take a guess what the most expensive state is, by the way. Alaska. So,
no,
yeah,
really?
The range is anywhere from like $13,000 to as high as $45,000 per key. So at let's call it $25,000.
Sure.
He moved $25 million worth of cocaine in 5 months. God. Street value.
5 months.
And he was 87 years old. So you can actually find a video of him.
Of the
real him when he actually finally got caught.
Wow.
And they said because he had never gotten pulled over, never had a record, nothing. And he drove really slow. And these, you know, Mexican gangsters would give him a hard time at first. And in the movie, it says he was a little down on his luck. So here's the part that I was crying in this movie.
Okay.
So before he became a drug mule, he was a flower salesman. Like he sold flowers. And he was always gone.
Uh-huh.
And he was never with the family.
Okay.
And he's got these daughters, this daughter that hates him. Yeah.
No.
Exactly.
No.
So I'm on a flight to New York to go try and do the biggest presentation of my career.
No.
And I'm watching this afterwards. And now I'm thinking, God, I'm never home.
Right.
Even though that's not true.
Yeah.
But I was having moments on that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's funny. I started getting choked up watching a movie recently. What was it? But yeah, any movie where a father is going to be separated, especially from his daughter, kills me. And I don't know if it was Avengers, but I'm starting to get choked up.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was bad.
Yeah. So that happened too, but it was also, it kept my attention extremely well.
Interesting.
Because it's a crazy ass story.
Yeah.
So anyway, the video though, of the real life video of the guy finally getting caught, they said that he was so nervous when they asked him to search the car that you could actually see the vein in his neck pulsating.
Seriously.
And then when they finally said, "Well, sir, unfortunately," because he said, "I don't have the keys to my he had a tailgate bed down,
gotcha.
So you don't have the keys. My sister has them." They go, "Well, I'm sorry, sir. You know, we have to check the car," because they did have some tips that they knew what kind of car he was. They knew it was an older guy. Blah blah blah. They had an idea that there was potentially him.
Yeah.
And he kept trying to say things like, "I'm old. How come you bother me? I'm old. And then as they were going to break open the back of the truck, he goes, "You might as well just kill me now."
Seriously.
like this is it. I know.
Look, I'm 90. I'm not going to jail.
Yeah, but the movie was pretty well, or was done very, very well. So
that's great.
So then I land in New York.
Okay.
I get there because I have such a big presentation, so I don't want to get there. Like normally I get there late, can't fall asleep till 3 a.m. Got to wake up super early, and you're the guy that looks like shit even if you don't go out, right?
Right.
So I got there early. So what do? I jog, and it's the day before Brooklyn's birthday. So I jog from Midtown Manhattan, 5.5 miles through Manhattan. at 3 o'clock in the afternoon with my headphones on.
Are you serious?
I don't walk, Dan. I jog.
Wait, are you on the sidewalk?
Yeah, like, of course, on the sidewalk.
Shoulder to shoulder pedestrians everywhere.
Moving around people. My legs were so sore the following day. Listening to some fantastic music, thinking I was a ninja. Because many people, you're running behind many people. They don't know you're coming.
Right.
And then almost everybody coming at you is on their phones or yeah. They don't even see you. And I didn't run into one person.
Holy cow.
And if you're doing it in airports, by the way, you can do it in airports. You know, people are in a rush.
Yeah.
You got to pick the angles. You know, like in football, you got to tackle, you got to pick the right angle. And if you can walk quickly through an airport and see the people in front of you, the way that they're moving, mm-hmm. and only have to adjust your body a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And not run into anybody and never literally have to stop and be like, you know, when you have to like, oh, yeah. And you can see people that are not paying attention.
Right.
And that person's not paying attention. And 10 feet from now, that person's still not going to be paying attention.
Right.
So if I keep going in this particular angle and I don't adjust a little bit, I felt like I was an air traffic controller.
I bet.
And I was thinking I was the sweetest dude on the planet. So if I had to do a quick move, I could jump a little bit.
Give him a little head.
I almost slipped a few times.
Yeah, nice.
Almost bumped into a couple people.
5.5 miles.
Yeah, so it was one of the coolest experiences I've ever had. Basically.
I bet.
So
were you like Times Square to the bridge?
No, Midtown.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a little bit past Times Square.
Holy crow.
Yeah, to the bridge, to the middle of the bridge. So then I had a great idea. I felt bad I was going to be there the following morning for Brooklyn's birthday when she woke up because we talk about Brooklyn's Bridge.
Oh, sure.
So I run to the middle of the Brooklyn Bridge, and I do a video saying, hey, Brooklyn, you know, it's like, I want to wish you happy birthday. I'm like, guess where I'm at? I'm at the Brooklyn Bridge. It's starting to get cold, and right in the middle of it, my great good buddy Rusty Williams calls me, who doesn't call me that often. Remember him? We did a traveling show with him, defensive lineman buddy from San Diego. He calls me. I'm like, what the hell is he calling me? Like, and then he sends me a text. Are you in New York? I'm like, oh, wow. He saw me.
Yeah.
I didn't think I was going to get away with this. He's like, no, I'm here for a work incentive trip, and we'll get to that. So the best salespeople in his organization, all from San Diego, decided to go to New York for the 4 days that I ended up going there.
Seriously.
And these guys are all studs, and guys and gals are all awesome. Had a great little hour with them because they're like, the last thing I need to do is hang out with these guys till 5 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
I'll be worthless tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
So he understood, but I just thought that was somewhat ironic.
That's wild.
Right as I was doing that, and Brooklyn loved the video too, which I thought was kind of cool. But back to my point more really quickly. If you can do that again, you're running through New York, try it. It's unbelievable.
That's great.
Okay, so flying back, have you seen the movie Free Solo? About the solo climber?
No.
All right, if anyone hasn't watched Free Solo, then you got to watch it. Okay, I think it's on Netflix. This dude climbs El Capitan in one of the largest, most famous rock climbing walls. It's in Yosemite. It's 3,000 feet high.
Jeez.
He climbed from the bottom of it to the top of it without stopping, without any ropes.
He just climbed it.
Just
like, you know what I'm going to do? And he did it.
And it took him almost just under 4 hours to do it.
Wow.
And you realize, so if you're connecting where I've been going on all this, I don't care how good of an athlete I ever was or how good some of these athletes you think are, but that's like, and I think they say something about something similar to this comment, but I'm not giving it as my own, but that's like doing an Olympic gold medal performance for 4 hours straight.
Right.
Because in his best comment that I actually wrote down that I'll read for you now, he says that because he's freaking crazy, right?
Clearly.
They do a whole MRI of his brain. And the part,
do they really?
Oh yeah, because they want to understand
the part with common sense has been removed.
Ever since he was a kid, he's like just gonna start climbing shit without ropes.
Jeez,
you know, and who cares the fact that people have died multiple times?
Right.
So he's the part of your brain that gets scared. He just doesn't have it.
Right.
It just doesn't ignite.
Because if you think about it, like if you climb straight up for 4 hours, how high that is.
3,000 feet.
Every minute you're that much
Closer to death.
Closer to death.
And his point was, it does feel good to be perfect.
This guy's a wackadoo.
Because if you're not, you die.
I'm going to watch this tonight.
Honestly.
I'm not joking.
I was watching it, and the guy sitting next to me, he was watching some of it, but he had already seen it. Okay. And he's watching me. And I am going over the top, can't believe what I'm watching.
Right.
But here's a point that we got to talk about men and women, though. So he's never fallen from a high level before until he meets the love of his life. And all of a sudden he has two major falls.
Seriously?
Yeah. One was her fault, full on. I think they both were her fault.
Well,
because she's a little bit of a climber, too.
Because she's down on the ground going, are you sure you want to grab that one?
Exactly.
Right, he's only been climbing for, yeah, for his 35 whole life. Years or whatever.
But,
yeah.
But still, the dynamic, though, even that dynamic was making me cry because she was talking about how she's in love with him, and I genuinely do believe it. But at the same time, there was a little something that didn't work right for me.
Yeah?
And it definitely seems like a difficult person to be in a relationship
with. I would imagine.
I would just say that. So that was a little bit sad because she's literally crying and she now knows that it's like he's got to pick the timing right. He practices a lot, right? He didn't just wake up.
I bet.
Yeah. He's climbed it hundreds of times, but he's climbed parts of it without rope a couple different times. He's never gone from the bottom to the top.
Gotcha.
And no one has, by the way, ever.
Well, yeah, because who would?
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
So then, like a sicko, I start YouTubing free solo climbing falls.
Seriously?
And I watched every single one there is out there.
Dude.
You was masochist. Surprised. There's a lot of them.
I bet.
So I thought that was honestly, that was one of the greatest things I've ever seen, though not
in
real
life.
That's
great. I got to see that. I thought Free Solo was a Star Wars movie.
Of course.
So I got to check that out.
Yeah. So he also has a buddy, and there's another one that's like the 2018 was like the year of rock climbing, apparently. So his buddy, this guy, so that guy's name is Alex Honnold, by the way.
Okay.
His buddy Tommy Caldwell was another guy who actually climbed the heart. There's a number of routes up El Capitan.
Okay.
So he apparently, they did another documentary, so you'll see it's called The Dawn Wall. This one, though, is equally sort of weird, but not as, in my opinion, if you're not going to die, you don't get as much credit. Okay?
Okay.
So they had ropes on the whole time.
Oh, they did, yeah.
But they climbed the most difficult route that has apparently been called unclimbable.
Oh, gotcha.
But there's fucking ropes on you.
Right. But this is Tommy Caldwell.
Tommy Caldwell,
like
another guy,
name.
Kevin Jorgensen, right. Guess how long it took him? 19 days. Guess where they slept? On the side of the mountain, hanging in these little canopy things, which is kind of weird. Well, it's again,
19 days.
Yeah. It's impressive, right? That's impressive.
I can't do anything for 19 days.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah. That one was intense, too, and I watched that one first, though.
Wow.
And I thought that was intense until
and
I saw
Free Solo.
Free Solo.
Holy
so I highly
crap.
Recommend it. Okay, let's move on because I feel like it's getting along. But, you know, we had some gaps in there.
Yeah, it's we've been talking for a while.
We're gonna wrap this shit up. But I before I do that, I took all three girls to the NCAA men's volleyball championships in Long Beach.
Oh yeah.
At the pyramid. You ever been to the pyramid?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
For what?
A robotics tournament.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Was that cool?
It actually was cool. It was high school, like, serious-ass
no,
robotics.
No, that stuff is serious.
Oh,
it's gotten
yeah,
more
dude.
Serious now.
NASA sponsors teams and JP, you know what I mean? Like, it's...
Do you know that do you get college... You can be a college athletic letterman on video game teams now?
I bet. Is that true?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
100%. So, Long Beach State...
So it was at the pyramid, though.
It was at the pyramid and had third row seats. Shout out to my man,
wow.
Tyler, for giving it to us. I brought the girls, and we were on the right side of the correct side of the court.
Mm-hmm.
We were on ESPN2 every serve.
Oh, jeez, seriously.
Four games.
Seriously. Well,
and I left early, and I made it home for the end,
mm-hmm.
and you could see our empty seats. The only empty seats. And I had asked Christine to record it. You could see the twins were not happy to be there. They were happy to be there, then they weren't happy to be there. The twins fell asleep next to me, then Brooklyn sat on my lap, and you can see two little kids sleeping
on ESPN2
every single play. Every single play,
That's awesome.
TV. It was pretty cool.
So do you have a shirt that has in big letters somethingsbrewing.com?
Of course.
Okay, good.
Not .com. Just something's brewing.
Just something's brewing? That's awesome.
Yeah, you can't see it. But a shout out to the Big West, because Long Beach State played Hawaii for the national championship. Two Big West teams.
Yeah?
Yeah, which is not a power conference, which I thought was kind of cool. And I also want to give a shout out to my man, Matty O, because he's one of the greatest indoor college volleyball players that I've ever known. And he was a setter, and he's one of my good, good friends.
Matty
and
O.
Watching indoor volleyball, especially men's, because it's a little bit faster than women's. Mm-hmm. It is an intense indoor sport.
I was at the
Olympics in Beijing, and I remember thinking it was awesome back then, but that was years ago.
Yeah.
They're even bigger and more athletic now.
I bet.
Even in college, they're bigger than the Olympic guys were 12 years ago.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking my buddy was a setter, one of the greatest college setters of all time. Like, people definitely know him. And the setter is just like the quarterback. And it was really cool to watch and be that close in that intensive an environment.
Yeah, yeah.
And I felt closer to him. I thought it was cool. So then last on the traveling and incentives before, or traveling and experiences before we get into the end of the show. So did a work trip, you know, work incentive trip for the top salespeople in an organization to Scottsdale for, you know, 4 or 5 days, you know, every night something going on, very little to do during the day and blah, blah, blah. So I had this great idea. On the first night, they do a regional dinner. It's quite a few people, all for the California people only. And it's like, you know what? I got a lot of great content lately with these songs.
Right,
I'm
going to
do another song.
Oh, no. Yeah. Okay.
So try and hook up an audio.
Sure.
Like, you've heard some of my songs.
Absolutely.
Right? So I usually typically do a video at the last thing of these work functions. But I said, you know what? I'm going to do one at the beginning, too. I got enough content.
Right. So is this a big room and everything?
Like, yeah, what's the 100 people.
Oh, yeah?
This
okay.
is a big room. But I couldn't get the audio to work. And so the audio was not connecting, so it was going to be really, because I had this song really well written to an acoustic version of a One Direction song.
Okay.
And my wife, and this is what I was talking about my wife earlier, my wife said, don't do it. Like, if the acoustics are not perfect, you're going to look like an idiot. And I was like, I didn't want to believe her. I didn't want to agree with her.
Oh, no.
Because in my mind, it's like, no, I'm already doing this.
Right.
I don't care.
Right.
I want people to hear.
The switch in my head has
I want
been
people
flipped.
To
I'm
hear how clever my lyrics are.
Right.
And I don't want them just to look at me as some big, dumb insurance salesman who used to play football. Okay? So I get up there.
Uh-oh.
And I don't fail miserably, but it definitely did not go over very well. And the next day, I remember waking up and I said to my wife, I will never not take your advice again.
And she's going to remember that you said that.
Right. Yeah. So, but later on that day, my homie came through with a game of Tangeray.
No.
Sorry, that was a little snoop. Later on that day, Archie Manning was the guest speaker.
Oh.
And he apparently thinks, and I can't argue with him, he says, we got a real problem with leadership in this country. So,
oh, he really said that?
Yeah, yeah, he did. He wasn't like bagging on Trump necessarily.
It was more of a general
sort of comment, and basically an old school guy talking about how everybody's a bunch of pussies now.
Right.
But I redeemed myself though with the AC/DC video. Remember that? Remember how I gave a little preview?
Oh, the highway. Yeah.
So we got to put that up, and I'm going to put it on YouTube for everybody. So with that, let's head over to Brooklyn's Bridge. Where we cross over to the last part of the show. We hope you stick around, because then you're going to know. All right. So in honor of Michael Jordan and some of the other great things we've talked about this episode, we want to do the SB23's 4 simple things that you got to do to be great. Okay, we're going to keep them very simple.
Four.
That's
simple
it.
Things.
Simple things to
Four.
Do that you got to do to be great. But first, before we do that, you got to close your eyes. Take a deep breath, like we've done in weeks past. Okay. One more time, deep breath. And remember something that you witnessed that was you thought was absolutely the greatest thing you ever saw in real life.
Mm.
Okay?
Okay.
Do you have one?
No. Yeah, maybe.
You want to go first? Or you want me to go?
I better go first, because it's going to be disappointing.
Go.
So,
Playboy for the first time.
You know it, brother. No. Oh, that is, well, no. No, just we were at this Prince concert. Uh-huh. My wife and I, big Prince fans, late great Prince Rogers Nelson. And he's doing his thing. He's doing a great show. And he brings out Maceo Parker, who was the saxophone. Wow, I'm blanking on trumpet, saxophone.
Okay.
He was he was a wind instrument musician for years with James Brown, like legendary Maceo Parker. And there's just something about seeing those two guys together.
That was great.
Just a little
and I should have prefaced this by saying you can't say you haven't seen your kids born. That's not the great.
Yeah.
You can't, that doesn't count.
Yeah, we discussed that. That's because that's like surreal.
Yeah, exactly. That doesn't have any count. So mine is, have you ever seen this device that you hook up to a, I think they're called, the real name is called air surfing, like an air surfer. You hook up what appears to be a little, almost like a big skateboard to the back of a jet ski, and the jet ski hits the gas and you shoot up into the sky. Okay, you haven't seen that?
Oh.
Have you?
Yes.
Okay, well,
I think I have seen that.
I had never seen one. And I was at my really good buddy Tori's bachelor party in Lake of the Ozarks.
Okay.
And we're, you know, it's a big, you know, it was a big weekend, either Memorial Day or Labor Day. And out of nowhere, I feel like this little rustle of water. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, because I don't see the guy until he finally shoots up out of the water like Aquaman. Okay?
Yeah. Okay.
And I've never seen one before, never heard of one before. And then he does a dive again. Down underwater for a little while, shoots back up again, 20 feet in the air, and like spins around like Iron Man.
Seriously.
And at that moment in real life, that was the coolest thing I ever saw. And it's still to this day, at that moment, was the coolest thing I ever saw.
So I didn't know you would shoot out of the water and then could go back under the water?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
There's a great video. You can buy them now. They're mass produced now. They're not cheap. And you can do it in San Diego. I highly recommend it. It was doing it in person then. I did it probably 10 years later.
Yeah.
That was the coolest thing I ever did myself.
I bet.
It felt like you're flying. Can't believe you're yawning.
I'm sorry. Okay. It's late. It's,
all right,
it's
so,
quarter of 11.
Back to.
We've been talking for 13 hours.
Jesus Christ. No. I know. It takes prep. You know what? You know what the best thing about doing a podcast? You get out of it what you put in. All right? Okay.
Brooklyn's Bridge.
Exactly. So remember, four simple things you got to do to be great.
Okay.
Okay? We're keeping it simple.
Yes.
But I do want everyone to remember that being rich means you have money, but being wealthy means you have time.
Mm.
All right? Okay. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you know, I was thinking, like, are we going to keep up this thing about where we take a deep breath type of thing? I feel like we've done it quite a weeks in a row.
It seems to be working for me.
Yeah, exactly. So
my mindfulness practice.
Yeah, well, it's all about playing the game rapid fire. So, you know, it's a sales technique when you're in.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, when you're in an environment, you don't, like, you don't have anything to talk about. You just remember some of these questions.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got to have your answers
ready.
And it stimulates people's thoughts.
Right.
And it gets out of the monotony of business.
Yes.
You follow me?
Yeah.
So that's the method to the madness there. So back to, we're almost done, everybody. The four simple things you got to do to be great. Number one, get up early.
Yeah.
I know.
See, that's why I'm not great, because I don't want to get up early.
And it's not, it's like get up, and it's not so much get up early.
Mm-hmm.
It's get up earlier than you need to.
So you're kind of carving extra time out of the day.
The smartest,
like it's free time.
Right. The
smartest, not free time, but
the
free
smartest people
time.
In the history of the world slept very little.
That is true.
Okay. Just remember that. Number two, know your weaknesses, but focus on your strengths. We've talked about Strength Finder before. I think that goes without saying.
Okay.
Number three, listen more than you talk. So we know that I'm going to have a hard time being great.
Right, and,
but,
and that is what I'm doing over here, by the way.
I understand.
I'm listening.
I know.
Because I'm trying to be great in four steps.
But that I never said I'm going to be great. I said I'm going to work on being great.
Right.
Okay?
Right. It's a journey.
So number four, which I'm pretty sure you knew was going to be this, keep a positive attitude at all times.
Yeah.
Period. All right. So in closing, I promise we will not go this long again. I really do, because but in two ways. I promise we won't put out another one this far from now, and we won't talk this long.
Right. But it's been a couple weeks, so you know.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and listen, they can pause whenever they want and go take a pee break, get a sandwich, whatever they want.
Pause and reflect, because when you come back, there will be a pause that refreshes. Okay. And I hope you have a fantastic rest of your morning, a beautiful afternoon, a just a flat-out great fucking weekend, huh?
Yeah.
Excuse my language. Oh, and happy Mother's Day.
You sexy mother.
To my wife. My wife! My mom, my mother-in-law, and all the mothers out there that are truly great. Because if you're not, then I have no desire to wish you a happy Mother's Day. So, in the spirit of the episode of greatness, happy Mother's Day to the mothers that are great, to the ones that are not. Have a shitty weekend. Anyway, we're out of here. Thanks for listening.
Corey Pogge is back at quarterback now. Throws in the end zone. Gets it away. Deep down the middle.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.